Sister Annie thinks I'm a science project. But you know something? I guess I'm not so average anymore.
Hey, everybody. Welcome once again to The Secret World of Cal and Jack, in which Cal and Jack watch Alex Mack. I'm Jack, and joining me, as always, he's the Dave to my Vince. He's the Lewis to my Raymond Alvarado. He's the Scooter to my George Mack. It's Callan.
Why do you get to be George Mack?
Because I do the introduction.
Okay. But I've got the dad bod.
So should we start off as we do always with one of these?
Don't you want a Mack fact? Don't you want a fact?
What you got?
Hey, Callan, don't you want a Mac fact check? That's right. It's a Mac fact check.
Okay.
Mac fact. I'm checking the facts. And unfortunately, I have to lay down a fact check on ourselves. Alert listeners might remember last week in episode 17, we heard the return of Gino, the plant security guard.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to play a little bit of audio from last week's episode, just to jog your memory about what we were chatting about when we were chatting about Gino.
Second of all, you might remember Gino. I think he was in like the second episode. Mm. He might have been in a few episodes. He was another security guard at the power plant early on. And Vince was real mean to him. And all he wanted to do was watch his soap operas, but Vince wouldn't let him.
He loved Dharma and Greg, from my memory.
Oh, that's right. It was Dharma and Greg. Gino just loves them, Thumber and Greg. Anyway.
So that was a bit of audio from our last episode, episode 17 of season 2. But alert fact checkers, if you remember way back early in season 1 when we first met Gino and first learned about Gino's canon, I think the audio will speak for itself.
I love Will and Grace. If there's one thing that, you know, about Gino, it's that he loves Will and Grace. That's why I got this Will and Grace tattoo right here.
So unfortunately, and apologies to all those who rely on The Secret World of Cal and Jack for, you know, its journalistic integrity and commitment to the truth and the facts. We thought it was Dharma and Greg, but Gino loves Will and Grace.
Hey, Jack, it's Gino here.
Hey, Gino. Hey, thanks for calling in.
I'm just dialing in. Thanks for clarifying that. Yeah, that's true. That's true that Will and Grace is my number one favorite show. But I tell you what, it is closely followed by Dharma and Greg. So it wasn't 100% inaccurate. And that's why I got this Dharma and Greg tattoo right here.
You got a whole sleeve of mid-90s sitcoms.
Yeah, I got Will and Grace on the one cheek and Dharma and Greg on the other. And that time I like to make them kiss.
Where's your Everybody Loves Raymond tattoo?
I had that, but then I had to get that removed because the later seasons of that really just did not go that well. And, you know, I had to say to myself, does everyone actually love Raymond or is it mainly just me? And I realized that my love of Raymond was probably proportionately higher than that of my friends, colleagues, and all the people that I knew in the general vicinity of the television that I was watching the show on.
They should have called it Gino Loves Raymond.
That's true. And I have pitched that to Ray Romano, and he hasn't replied to my emails, my texts, or my love letters. So, you know, maybe they change it. Maybe they come back for a new season of Gino Loves Raymond.
Maybe it gets rebooted on Netflix, like Full House.
Yeah. I like the sound of that. You got any contacts? You got anyone in the know down at the old Netflix head HQ that Gino could talk to?
I personally don't know anyone at Netflix, but it seems like they just give anyone a show.
That's true. They do that. So I think if I can get that contact number, then Gino Loves Raymond is, I think, a surefire hit.
It's a real goer.
Anyway, I gotta go. I'm catching a plane. I just wanted to call up and let you know that you guys are doing a great job, a bang up job, and I do like Dharma and Greg also.
Okay,
but you know, my first time love it is Will and Grace. So thank you for clarifying that. It means the world to me. And
no worries, Gino.
And you guys are just doing a bang up job. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Gino. Thanks for calling in. You have a safe flight.
I will do. Thanks, Jack. And tell Callan that I think that he's an amazing man.
All right, I will.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Gino. Oh, hey, Cal, you missed it. Gino just rang.
Yeah, my internet just dropped out. I don't understand. I don't really understand what happened, but...
Well, Gino was just calling to clarify that, yeah, he likes Will and Grace and Dharma and Greg. Not so much a fan of you, though.
Oh, well...
Didn't think much of Cal.
That's strange, because I have got some very long love letters that he's mailed me that, you know, they tell a different story. A story I'm a little bit uncomfortable with. It goes into quite a lot of graphic detail about what he'd like to do if we met. So I'm kind of glad I wasn't on the line, to be honest.
Always good to hear from Gino. But Gino did not appear in episode 18 of season 2 of The Secret World of Alex Mack, which we watched today, which was called Local Hero. This episode largely concerns Alex's friend Lewis, you know, the one with the shitty personality.
Yeah.
Alex is hanging out at the park with Lewis and Ray while they fly their model aeroplanes, and they're having sort of a dogfight in the air. And Lewis crashes his plane over a little hill, and while he's going to pick up his plane from where it landed, he hears a young girl screaming for help. So he rushes over and he finds out that this girl, her little brother, has been trapped under a pile of big heavy pipes in a construction site. So Lewis, you know, jumps to action to try and help. And he realized that he needs to try and lift this pipe off this kid. And so he's lifting and struggling and can't do it. And in the meantime, Alex and Ray have come over, and Alex can see what's going on. And she realizes that she needs to use her powers to help Lewis lift the pipe. So she does. She telepathically helps Lewis lift up the pipe, and the kid is freed, and the sister is overjoyed. And so the next day, they head to school, and there's a crowd of people and reporters and a whole group of people who rush up to Lewis and say, "Lewis, how does it feel to be a hero? Do you realize that you saved the son of the senator?" And Lewis goes, "Oh my God, I didn't know that." And all of a sudden, Lewis is kind of this community hero. Who's having newspaper articles written about him, and everyone wants his autograph, and he's kind of suddenly famous for being the town hero who saved this kid. It all sort of, because it's such a big deal for everyone in the town, it starts to go to his head, and he starts to ignore Alex and Ray and even Nicole and Robin in favor of, you know, retelling his story about being a hero and doing speeches about world peace and just kind of getting a bit arrogant about the whole thing.
And meanwhile, over at the chemical plant, we've got Vince, who is wearing a very lovely ensemble. Maybe one of my favorite Vince outfits, I think,
Vince
in this episode.
Vince was just crushing it today. There wasn't anything like, it was sort of subtle. Like, it wasn't like, oh, Vince is wearing a funny shirt. It was just all kind of flowing and like fitted together. It was really good.
Yeah, he had this weird jacket that kind of looked like a shirt, but then under the shirt it had a vest, and then under the vest there was another shirt. And it was just like, oh, wow. It's like I'm looking into one of those magic things where you like look at it and see 3D shit. It was cool.
And we got a great look at his loafers.
Oh, yeah. Nice close-ups on his loafs.
Close of loafs. That's what we like about Alex Mack.
So Danielle is calling Vince to her office, and she has been a little bit fed up with Vince. He's been looking for Alex for about 18 episodes now and hasn't really come up with any
18
leads.
Episodes just in this season. There was a whole first season as
Jesus
well.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, I'd be getting pissed off as well if I was Danielle. And she's gone and hired a private security consultant named Judd to oversee the GC-161 kid case. And obviously Vince is none too pleased about this having, you know, oversight. He's used to being the big boss man, calling the shots, bossing people around. Yep. And now he's the little not boss man being bossed around by the big boss man.
He's the Dave in this scenario.
He's the Dave. He's now the Dave.
He's the Callan.
I don't know about that. I think, you know, I would probably be
I wouldn't be Judd in this situation. Maybe I'd be Daniel Atron.
Maybe.
Anyway, Judd has some really boring kind of manual data entry work, which sounds like actually a pretty good plan for catching the kids. Like, let's just get a list of all the kids and then like get some parameters and get a short list. I think that is probably the first thing that you should do. And it's amazing that Vince hasn't done that in, like, you know, what, 2 years of looking for this kid?
Because Vince claims he's getting closer, but he hasn't narrowed it down at all.
No.
It keeps just like finding one tiny clue and going off on a wild chase after one kid.
Yeah.
Really scattershot sort of approach.
And if I'm Daniel Atron, like, a lot of their approaches seem to be like orchestrating these very extravagant and expensive traps, which involve, you know, putting on a carnival paying for the winner of
the video
contest or whatever. So it's just a bottomless money pit, this GC161 kid. Anyway, Judd notices that Lewis Driscoll is getting all his kudos for lifting a pipe, and he's like, hey, a normal kid probably couldn't lift this pipe. Maybe he's the kid. And Vince convinces him that they reenact Lewis lifting the pipe again. And if he can lift it, then he's probably the kid, is their plan, which doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, because it's like, he did lift it already. Like, I don't think anyone's saying that he didn't lift it.
I think it's more just to see it with their own eyes. Like, what if he just like lifts it up? Does he lift it up and throw it in the air and twirl it on his hand like a basketball?
Yeah, that's true. You know? I guess. The plan is do it like a meteor event. Get Lewis to relift the pipe and see if he's the kid.
Yeah.
So they do, and Lewis agrees to it. He's a bit nervous. About whether he's going to be able to lift the pipe or not. If he doesn't lift the pipe, he feels like, you know, all of this kudos and attention is probably going to go away and everyone's going to think that he is a pale jerk with no personality.
Yeah. And before he lifts the pipe, he does a speech where he finally acknowledges that that Ray and Alex were there with him on the day that he actually lifted the pipe. Which is something that Ray and Alex have been kind of hanging out for, and he'd really fallen out of favor with his friends because of his arrogance, but he sort of redeems himself with this little speech.
Alex is kind of in two minds about whether she should help Lewis lift the pipe or not, because he'll get really embarrassed if she doesn't help him. But also, in a side plot that didn't go anywhere, that looked like it was going to be interesting and then just wasn't. Yeah. Annie has done an experiment with Alex where she's got Alex to melt into a puddle, as she is wont to do, and then kind of mixed green food dye in with the puddle. And then when Alex reforms, her skin is green.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a great experiment.
It does. We're going to see what happens when we make you green.
So
let's see what green does.
So Alex is already a little bit nervous about getting unwanted attention at this event because she's green and her disguise is to wear gloves and sunglasses. Yeah. But it doesn't really help.
It doesn't really help, but it doesn't matter because no one
notices.
People notice, but nothing happens.
Yeah. But she realizes that Vince is there, and they kind of put two and two together and realize that it's a trap. And so Alex decides not to help Lewis lift the beam. But then Lewis, being so afraid of the backlash if he doesn't lift it again, finds the power within himself to lift the beam. But it's clearly very difficult for him to do. So Daniel calls Judd over and says, this is just some kid, some pale, dorky kid, some little doinkus, and fires Judd. And so Vince is pretty happy because he gets the top dog spot yet again.
And ultimately, Lewis learns that that whether he's a hero or not, fame is fleeting, as he and Alex read on the community newspaper the next day that some kid ate 15 hot dogs at lunchtime.
And now, he's the new town hero, I guess. Yes.
And now the plant's attention is on this kid, because no normal kid could eat 15 hot dogs.
No normal kid could memorize the entire script of The Firm.
Okay, Ip.
I thought.
Yeah, it started off pretty strong. Like, it started off with this pretty, like, well filmed kind of dogfight of these remote control aeroplanes. And I'm like, wow, that's some production budget. Like, you know, that they didn't need to do that. Like, they could have just been in the park, you know, playing hopscotch or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, it got going straight away. Lewis is, like, lifting the pipe. There's all this kind of stuff happening. And it got a little bit meandery towards the back end of it. But, yeah, pretty good. Pretty good episode.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. And then Alex went green for no reason.
Yeah, yeah. They, I feel like they wasted that. Like, it's a good idea for a thing to happen to Alex.
Yeah.
But surely, like, she should be going on a date with Hot Scott, or maybe she's got to give a public lecture or, like, something where it would be really bad if you were green should be happening.
Yeah. Not if you were going to an event where most of the attention won't be on you.
Maybe she was going to be in a school play and she was really nervous about it, but then she remembered that she was actually playing Shrek in the, in the school play version of Shrek that they were doing. And Ray was playing Donkey.
Oh, I imagine. No, Lewis would play Donkey.
Who would Ray be?
Ray would be the Lord Farquaad.
Oh, yeah. I could see that. Okay, what about Robin? The little gingerbread man?
No, Robin would for sure be stage crew wearing all black
and a little hat. Who's Puss in Boots?
Hot Scott.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then everyone's really weirded out. When in the final act, Puss in Boots and Shrek just start making out.
And how does Vince install himself in this production to use, you know, to gather intel on who the kid might be?
I think what he's probably going to do is he is going to put someone in danger and see if the kid uses the powers to save him.
Right.
And so he puts Puss in Boots in danger. And then Alex saves him, but not in a powersy way. And then they just like macking on in front of the whole school. Right. And everyone's like clapping and going, yay, Alex and Hot Scott, yay.
Yeah. And then Kelly like rolls her eyes and storms out.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if Vince's way of involving himself to find out information about the kids was to like sign up to be the director of the play? Oh,
that's a good one. Yeah.
But then like over the course of it, kind of becomes really invested and takes it seriously.
Yeah. And then
imagine
the
outfit Vince would wear as a 90s director.
I think Dave would be the like assistant director as well.
Yes.
And I think that like he would be making all the costumes himself.
Yeah. Hey, you know how you mentioned earlier that the scene from a few episodes ago where the kid remembered all the words to the firm?
Yeah.
That I might mention that I noticed that because I can read real quick in this episode. The scene where we first see that Lewis's heroic act has kind of spread throughout the community. It's a headline on a newspaper and it says Lewis Driscoll, local hero, lifts pipe or something. Whenever a newspaper flashes up on a TV screen, I kind of automatically try and like see what the other headlines are, the other articles, to see if any of them are funny or just to like see if they've put any effort in. So I glanced at the second headline on this one and this certainly wasn't funny. But it was scientists claim Earth's temperature takes another turn for the worst.
Oh God!
This show is 25 years old.
Oh man,
this is a children's show from 25 years ago.
Do you reckon they just took a headline that was just in the paper already? Or
yeah, maybe. But like another turn for the worst.
Yeah.
Like this is an existing issue.
Well, I mean,
that is getting worse.
And you remember, like, this is probably a little bit after the era of the very environmentally friendly children's television shows. So, like, we've known about this for a while.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, more talking about, like, the hole in the ozone layer and, like, the greenhouse effect was the way that it used to be talked about back in those days before it was just, like, you know, climate apocalypse.
Yeah.
Well, that's way to put a dampener on that, Jack. Jeez.
So because Lewis is a hero, the cafeteria starts serving a Lewis hero sandwich.
That was really good. Did you read really quickly what was on it? Were you able to get that?
No, but I was quite impressed with the poster that someone had made advertising the sandwich. Like it was a big sandwich, but it looked like it was like, you know, it wasn't just a drawing of a sandwich. They'd made a sandwich out of colored cardboard and written Lewis Hero Sandwich on top of it in like shiny letters.
But it was like a regular sandwich with like two slices of bread, right? Isn't a hero sandwich like a sub?
Yeah. I sort of got like kind of I was getting a burger vibe from that picture.
Yeah. Either way, like I was pretty sure that a hero is like a really big sub.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's a funny name for a sandwich, isn't it?
Yeah.
Y'all have a hero?
It's a very American sandwich. Mm.
Americans love heroes. I ate a big sandwich, never forget.
I need a hero.
Do you ever have 15 minutes of fame, Callan?
I think the closest that I came to it, other than being an extra in the television show Flipper, was once when I was a kid. There was like, you know how they do those carols things every year? Like it's like a little kind of pantomimey type thing.
Like your like local carols in your local council?
Yeah, it was at the Gold Coast, and it was going to be like quite a big thing. Like they had it set up. It's going to be outside, and they were like setting up a stage kind of like at the equivalent of like the Sydney Mime Music Bowl, like a kind of public space. But then the weather was really bad, so they ended up moving it into like the local shopping center.
Okay.
But yeah, it was called Carols Under the Cosmos. And I was the main kid. And
you were the kid?
Yeah, I was the kid. And Aussie Joe Bugner, who is like this famous boxer. I don't know if you know.
Yeah.
He's kind of like a George Foreman type. Australia's George Foreman. I think he's called Aussie Joe Bugner, even though he's like not Australian.
Quite a smashed face from memory.
Well, yeah, he's a boxer. Yeah. And he fought Muhammad Ali one time, I think.
Okay.
And he played Santa Claus.
And were you playing Jesus?
I was playing like the kid who had to try and save Christmas or whatever. And so it was Joe Bugner trying to like solve some problem to like save Christmas. And it was all lip sync, so I didn't actually have to say anything. Like they pre-recorded the audio, so I just had to kind of mime to it.
Did they pre-record? Did you pre-record the audio, or was it someone else's voice?
I don't think it was me.
Yeah, okay.
Well, actually, I think it was more just like there was narration,
okay,
and there weren't lines.
Yeah.
And it was us just kind of like miming the things that were happening.
Yeah.
And then like the next day, I went to McDonald's to get a soft serve cone, and I was waiting in the line, and this old granny came up to me and goes, "You're that kid from that Carols. Well done." That's the closest that being recognized in the McDonald's line by an old lady who probably would have said that to any kid in front of her.
She was just going down the line.
Listen, lady, I don't know what you're talking about. Aussie Joe Bugner's been dead for years.
When I was in year 11 at school, 10 or 11 at school, I was riding my bike to school one day and I got hit by a car. And
some chemicals came out.
And some chemicals spilled, and then I had powers. No, I got hit by a car and like got knocked off my bike, and I was on the road. The car wasn't going that fast. I was fine in the end, but like, the ambulance came and like took me to hospital just to chat. And I was only in for like a day, and then I took the next day off school or something. But then when I came back, it was like I'd been in a coma for 4 years. Everyone was so excited about my ordeal. And I remember we had the year 10 like coordinator. So I think she maybe taught class as well, but she was the main lady, and she was just kind of like, she was just kind of an idiot. Sometimes, even at 16, we're all like, I don't know about this lady. What's her
name? Not all there.
Yeah. So I was on my way to school, and I'd be hit by this car, and some people driving past had seen it. Anyway, the school had found out what happened. So this coordinator, I don't know whether it was like announced. It wasn't like announced. They didn't make an announcement to school or anything, but she she called my girlfriend at the time into her office to tell her, and she had this habit of like over dramatizing everything. So she sits down my girlfriend at the time and is like, "Now look, Jack's in the hospital. He's been hit by a car, and we're not sure if he's going to make it."
Oh my god.
She's trolling.
Did
she believe that? Was that just her thing that she like got? She noticed that you were in the hospital, or
I didn't know anything. And I was like I think I'd gone home by the time this happened. Like,
oh my god, that's so funny.
But yeah, so the next day I turned up, and no one asked for my autograph like they did Lewis.
Well, you don't get an autograph for getting hit by a car. No one.
No.
You didn't save a kid.
No.
You were the kid that needed to be saved.
Yeah. But yeah, that was the closest I came to 15 minutes of fame, being the kid who got hit by the car. So look, not a lot to say about this next section of the show, but I'm going to do it anyway for the sake of tradition.
She doesn't have a cat. Her mom's name isn't Pat, but she always, well, almost always wears a hat. Alex Mack wears a hat.
How about that?
I think the highlight hat for me this episode was Lewis's hat. He's got that kind of like beret.
Yeah, Lewis's Kangol hat, which I'm colloquially terming Lewis's Callan hat.
I wish I had a picture of me in this hat, because I pretty much look exactly like Lewis, walking around in sunglasses with this hat with his pasty white legs. And saying, look, I'm not a hero, but I was in Christmas Carols with Ozzy Chopin. Who wants my autograph?
Line up. What's going to be in the sandwich you name after me? I think I kind of like how Lewis has his signature hat. Like, that's definitely his signature hat.
Yeah.
Whereas Alex's signature thing is wearing hats, plural.
Yeah.
Lewis's thing is he has a hat.
Yeah.
And we don't know what his mum's name is. And we don't know the status of him having a cat or not.
Yeah. We did meet his parents briefly when they were moving him off that truck in the first episode that introduced Lewis. But
yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they ever were introduced as name characters.
Yeah.
Presumably their surnames are Driscoll and their the mum's middle name is Louise. So by process of elimination, we can probably figure out the rest.
Look, I like this episode. I think I liked the episode. Alex's friends, so the second tier of friends, so Ray is obviously tier one friend. Uh-huh. The second tier of Lewis, Robin, and Nicole. Those three are great, and I think the episodes that they feature in are always pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. Bring in more, especially Robin and Nicole. I like Robin and Nicole. Lewis is a bit of a dweeb, and the episodes around him are normally like premised around why are we friends with this guy? He's kind of annoying.
Lewis sucks.
Yeah,
but even though he's a dweeb and he's annoying, Lewis the actor is great.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Would you like to see the secret world of Lewis Driscoll?
Would I like to see the secret? No, he's too much of a doinkus.
Would you want to see what he did when he got powers? Like, he's totally go full Doctor Doom. Like,
he was.
Like, he'll be a supervillain for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It was nice in this episode to see Alex. Like, we've talked about how Alex should just be a superhero. Like, she should go around using her powers for good.
Mm.
And the idea of her trying to do it in secret is, and like give off the, you know, she needs to find herself in a position where someone else is trying to lift the pipe, but she can use her powers to do it.
Yeah.
Is kind of cool. If that was like the circumstances under which she could be a hero.
Yeah. I guess she gets the whole Spider-Man type thing where like everyone loves Spider-Man, but everyone thinks that Peter Parker is like a real flaky dude. It could be that kind of vibe. What do you think Lewis will be when he grows up?
An ongoing disappointment.
a burden on society.
I don't know.
I see him as being one of those like ambulance chasing like on TV.
No.
And like similar in that, like I feel like he just, the reason that he picked that profession is just so he could have ads on TVs.
Yeah. That he can direct himself.
Yeah, that he could direct himself. And maybe he's got like his photo on park benches and stuff.
Yeah.
And then maybe he makes an ill...
No win, no fee.
I think he makes an ill-fated run for some sort of local council, mayoral kind of role.
Yep.
And his whole platform is he's going to shut down some community center, and some kids manage to foil his plan.
So he's just a villain. He's a villain in every movie.
He's the bad guy in an 80s or 90s movie who is going to shut down the karate studio or whatever.
Maybe that could be. We've talked about Alex Mack Jr. before, the reboot.
Mm.
Maybe that's it. Maybe Lewis Lewis takes the position, the sort of Daniel Atron Vince position, as the person of power in the community. The chemical plant has been shut down long ago, I imagine. At the end of the series of The Secret World of Alex Mack, as a result of Alex Mack's actions, the power plant gets shut down and gets turned into the community center. And then Lewis becomes the mayor and wants to shut it down to turn it back into a chemical plant. But it's up to Alex Mack Jr. to save the day.
And I like this idea. And then so we've got Alex and Hot Scott at home, who have got like a kind of Bewitched vibe going on. Where she's like has to like hide her powers from all the people. And like the special bond between her and Alex Jr., who's like getting new, who's getting powers. And maybe she has some slightly different powers. What powers do you think? But
she can like breathe fire.
Yeah, maybe she just sends really popular tweets.
She has the power to go viral.
Yeah, I'd watch that if Netflix did a reboot of Alex Mack.
Yeah,
called what, Alex Mack Generations,
Alex Mack Revolution.
What would Gino be?
The Gino would be like the opposing candidate for mayor.
I think he'd be the current mayor and Lewis Driscoll would be running against him.
He's the incumbent.
And they're trying to help Gino like keep his spot, but he's kind of a little bit
he's old fashioned. He doesn't understand the power of going viral.
Yeah, so they have to like help him set up his Twitter account. Get him on Snapchat and TikTok.
and they're trying to have Zoom meetings, but he can't turn the microphone on.
It's like now, Gino. I know that we've talked about the importance of reaching a new demographic with your TikTok videos, but all of your TikTok videos seem to be just you watching episodes of Will and Grace. Well, I love Will and Grace. Everyone loves Will and Grace. Yeah, they keep getting flagged for content infringement, so you can't just put full episodes of Will and Grace on your TikTok. Also, they're only 6 seconds long, so it's really not the right medium. Like, well, if it's not for Will and Grace, then what is it for?
Okay, Gino, we saw I got your email about your idea for a podcast where you watch your favorite show from the 90s and then talk about it for half an hour a week, but I really don't think anyone's going to listen to that.
I'd listen to it. You got one person right there. Mind we can change, it's worth it.
As your marketing director, I've got really good first-hand evidence that no one will listen to that.
We do it more because we just enjoy each other's company and watching Will and Grace. It's not really about the reach and the minds that we change vis-a-vis my mayoral candidacy.
Well, Gino, look, thanks for stopping by, but we really do have to wrap up this episode of The Secret World of Cal and Jack, in which Cal and Jack watch Alex Mack there. Gino, I'm going to ask you first, but then if you can just pass on my question to Callan as well. Have you had a good time?
Oh, Gino is always having a good time. if the sun is in the sky and Will and Grace is on the television, then, you know, Gino is A-OK in my book, which is Gino's book. Thank you for having me. Okay,
thanks, Gino.
All right. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Callan, have you had a good time?
Yeah, I have had a good time. I don't know what keeps happening with my computer, but I'm back, and it was pretty good.
It was good. It was good. So until next time, when we watch episode 18 of season 2 of The Secret World of Alex Mack, you can email us on secretworldpod@gmail.com. Obviously, keep the pics coming in. Until next time, I've been Jack.
I've been Gino. And I've been Callan.
My best friend Ray thinks it's cool.
My sister Annie thinks I'm a science project. And I just love Will and Grace. It's a fantastic show. And I'm glad that it's back for more seasons.
And you know what?
Thanks for
having
me.
Dom and Greg, not so bad either. And we'll speak to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.